It's been a question swirling around for years. How much longer will Hoffman Estates-based Sears be around?
Sears shutting down 150 of their Sears and Kmart stores coast to coast.
Sears has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Can this record-breaking holiday retail season resuscitate the brand? I spoke with RJ Hottovy, a senior retail analyst at Morningstar in Chicago.
Is there any number that they can hit or any target that would show them, look, we might be pulling things in the right direction?
I think it's gonna be tough. I mean, to be honest, you're absolutely right. It's amazing they've made it this far, and it would take a pretty impressive number to show viability in the concept. I think this is going to be probably the last year, at least in its existing form.
Other brands like JCPenney and Claire's also wavering in 2018, setting up what could be a critical holiday shopping season.
We're definitely veering into a winners and losers type category or situation for the retail environment right now. Those companies that have made the investment behind their online platforms, have talked to their vendors about getting exclusive product, and most importantly, just knowing what they are and what they aren't.
Is that because of the online market?
It's probably simplistic just to say that it was all Amazon's fault. I think if you look at the retailers that have done well, particularly this holiday season, a Walmart, a Target, a Best Buy, what they're doing is they focus on price, they get that right, but then they also focus on convenience and experience.
So as you sit back on December 26th, what is it that you're looking at that happened over this span? Is there anything in particular, any storylines that you're focusing on?
The big one for me this year is that if you look back at the last decade, the consumer environment, generally the U.S. consumers have been able to shake off any kind of stock market pressures. And for better or worse, we're really being driven by middle to upper income consumers in terms of consumption growth right now. With the volatility we've had in the stock market, I was looking to see if we any kind of pullback in spending and maybe consumers rethink their shopping patterns for this holiday season. Thus far, we haven't seen it. We put up some really big numbers for the Black Friday holiday, particularly online. But even in store, we did very well. So there's no evidence at this point. But as we start to get closer to the holiday season, maybe people rethink their holiday budgets a little bit more. That's going to give us a pretty good barometer for what to look for in 2019. So that's the big thing I'm looking for. But beyond that, what categories are selling? It seems like, electronics, smart home was a big category. Everyone's got their Alexa or Google Home at this point. Mm-hmm. Now they need to add other products that can be enabled by it. So that was a big theme. Gaming was another big one. And then I think just kind of overall home was another big category.
Part of the convenience for shoppers this year, free shipping.
Amazon is dropping its $25 minimum purchase for free shipping this holiday season.
Why would retailers chew the cost in this critical time of year? Welcome to the FedEx sorting facility on Chicago's Near North Side. The shipping giant says it's handling about 14 million packages per day this holiday season. A decade ago, 12 million was a peak day. The reason? E-commerce. Michael Murphy is the senior operations manager here.
And a lot of the customers nowadays, too, are more adept to that online shopping that they weren't so in the past. So those, the big flat screen TVs or things of that nature where they weren't even a couple of years ago comfortable shipping that overnight, they have no problem with that.
Part of the comfort level coming from the offers of free shipping. Amazon, Target, Best Buy, Walmart, among the scores of retailers offering free shipping of some sort this holiday season.
This year for holiday, 81% of all e-commerce sales are coming with free shipping.
Jason Goldman, a.k.a. The Retail Geek, is Chief Commerce Officer at Publicis Group.
As consumers, did we just hit the jackpot? I mean, why are they giving us free shipping?
If you do what we call an A-B test and you offer a big chunk of customers $10 off to buy something, and you offer another chunk of customers free shipping, which only costs $8, the overwhelming majority of customers will take the free shipping because their perception in their brain is that paying for that shipping is more painful than the sort of rational economic value.
But giving away free shipping does cost the retailer money.
And the reason they're choosing to make less money on the sale is that they're worried that if you form the habit to buy these lower margin purchases from someone else, that you'll never come back to them. So they'd rather have you as a lower margin customer than not a customer at all.
And he says setting a minimum threshold for free shipping can also lead to more purchases.
You get free shipping if you spend over $35 and you put a $30 item in your cart. You now have a strong emotional incentive to buy something else to put yourself over that $35.
And he says retail competition is also playing a big role.
So it's always interesting to watch the retailers. It's a foregone conclusion everyone's going to offer offer free shipping, but what's the threshold going to be? So last year, Walmart made a big change, and they said, hey, you know what? From now on, every day, free shipping on two-day shipping on all purchases over $35. So it's fast free shipping with a $35 threshold. And then Target came out for holiday and said, hey, for this holiday, it's free shipping no matter what you buy.
You could buy a pencil.
Exactly.
And it'd come with you for
free. Notoriously, you could buy a $1, 5-pound box of nails, like the least profitable e-commerce product in the world because it's cheap and heavy. And Target would give you free shipping, right? Like, so clearly, if you just buy that one item, that pencil, for example, Target is going to lose money. But when they make that offer, you always wonder, okay, how is Walmart going to respond? And this holiday season was very interesting. Walmart did not take the bait. They said, that's fine. Target can do what they want. We're still going to stick with free two-day shipping for a $35 threshold. And then right after Walmart sort of publicly announced that they weren't making that change, Amazon surprised everyone because Amazon famously offers free shipping if you're a Prime member, which now costs $120 a year. They announced for this holiday, hey, by the way, even if you're not a Prime member, free shipping for the holidays.
Are they getting information from me that they wouldn't if I walked into the store and dropped down cash? Got an account. You've got a credit card number. You're giving them your phone number, your email address, and things like that. Is that beneficial to these companies? Is that part of what makes this good business for them?
It is. If you buy something online versus if you buy it in the store anonymously with cash, that retailer knows a heck of a lot more about you.
Retailers are data mining you as soon as you walk into stores.
You might intentionally download an app from a favorite retailer, and that they might overtly have a service. Hey, is it okay if we use your GPS and tell you when you're close to the store? So you might be happy to download the Walgreens app and have an offer pop up when you're near Walgreens. Hey, 10% off if you step in right now. Another way where you sort of opt in to letting them know who you are is a lot of retailers will offer Wi-Fi. So free Wi-Fi in the store so you can use your phone. And increasingly, we use our phones to help us make purchase decisions. And when you use their Wi-Fi, you're usually checking something that says you agree to let them do an awful lot of tracking, including what you did on your web browser while you were in that store. So, you know, if you're in Walmart and you've opted into Walmart's Wi-Fi, I know if you used your phone to go to Target and check prices.
Let's get to the thing we were talking about before I started this up about geofencing and a retailer's ability to basically track you, your movements, your whereabouts in the store, even outside of the store. It's kind of scary to know what information they can pull from your phone and what information that we willingly give over to them for them to do that.
Yeah, and there's a wide spectrum of ways that might happen. Like, you might intentionally download an app from a favorite retailer, and that they might overtly have a service. Hey, is it okay if we use your GPS and tell you when you're close to the store? So you might be happy to download the Walgreens app and have an offer pop up when you're near Walgreens. Hey, 10% off if you step in right now.
I've noticed that with CVS when all of a sudden the app will pop up when I walk inside the store. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? I'm at a train station at a CVS at a train station and it recognized it.
Exactly. So, you know, when you install that app, you may not have noticed, but you likely opted in to that service. And you could actually turn off the GPS for that app if you didn't want them to track it. So there's a way to sort of you control your privacy. But that, I'll call that the least nefarious way. And by the way, that can still be annoying. I often call that geospam because it can also happen when you're on the L driving over the CVS.
Sure.
And you could get that offer and you're like, I'm not jumping off the train to go into CVS right now.
Sure.
Another way where you sort of opt in to letting them know who you are is a lot of retailers will offer Wi-Fi, so free Wi-Fi in the store so you can use your phone and like read ratings and reviews and do things while you're in the store.
Great things for Barnes & Noble maybe, some kind of, you know,
exactly.
Book retailer. That, you know, you're going to hang out there, maybe sip some coffee.
Yeah, exactly. And increasingly, we use our phones to help us make purchase decisions. So there's a lot of reasons it's smart for a retailer to want you to use their Wi-Fi. And when you use their Wi-Fi, you're usually checking something that says you agree to let them do an awful lot of tracking, including what you did on your web browser while you were in that store. So, you know, if you're in Walmart and you've opted into Walmart's Wi-Fi, I know if you used your phone to go to Target and check prices with Walmart, for example. So that's a slightly more creepy experience that you still – you may not have noticed, but you did opt into, and you do have the ability to opt out. Where it starts getting really creepy is retailers have the ability to just notice Wi-Fi signals near their store. And so your phone is always transmitting it, saying, hey, I'm this phone. Is there Wi-Fi available nearby that I can reach? And so the store can see that what we call ping and recognize your unique serial number, your MAC address, and follow it around the store or the mall. And so I can kind of use that Wi-Fi signal as a physical cookie, which is the way they track you on your web browser, to understand how you walked through the store and what you did. Now, you generally haven't opted into that, and the store doesn't know who you are specifically. You're a unique number to the store, mm-hmm. but they can get an awful lot of information about how frequently you go to the store, how long you spend in the store, and all those sorts of things. There's some controversy about that. Some retailers have deployed that technology, had it become well known that they were using that technology, and they quickly turned off the technology and apologized because customers felt that that was too big an invasion in privacy. And normally, the best version of an opt-in for that is a sign at the front of the store that says, by the way, if you walk in the store, we have the right to track you. Sure. And that's not very overt or like an intentional opt-in.
And the goal of this is to better target what it is that you are going to be doing in the store. Hey, he went over to the housewares department. Why don't we see what kind of coupons there are available to kind of entice him? I'm just trying to figure out what it is that they're doing with all of this information as to where I'm stepping in a store. Why am I going to the baby section? Why am I going to the grocery section? I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out.
So there's kind of reactive and proactive things they do. The data collection is just useful to them to design their store and their experiences better. Oh, gosh. People are always shopping for beer and diapers. Mm-hmm. Not an obvious association. But once you say it, oh, yeah, dad gets sent to the grocery store to get diapers. Sure. And he goes and gets beer. That, by the way, is a false urban legend in our industry. It's not really true, but it's funny to talk about anyway. But you could notice those kind of associations, and then you could go, oh, maybe I should put a beer display in the diaper aisle, right? And so you could use that data.
Or do you keep them far apart so that people have to go through the whole store?
Serendipitous discovery. Sure. Find more things. Absolutely. These are all the things that retail merchants struggle with every day. Like, do I make the experience as low friction as possible, or do I make it as rich and helpful to discover new things you didn't intend to buy?
So in that situation, I'm customer X, and they don't care who I am. They don't care my name. They don't care anything. They just want to know what the flow of traffic is inside of their store.
Exactly. If you think about it, if a bunch of people shop an anonymous e-commerce site, that e-commerce site gets a bunch of data analytics about how you shop the site. Mm-hmm. And so these new technologies are sort of the physical equivalent of web analytics. They're giving the store analytics about how people browse and behave in the store. And that helps the store plan merchandise. If I know I have more traffic, I should have more staff during those times. If I know most of my traffic is in the plumbing aisle versus the electrical aisle at Home Depot, maybe I should hire more plumbing experts. Like, all that data is helpful to just improve the store. Once I know it's you specifically because you've opted in somehow with the app or the Wi-Fi, like now I can start sending you offers that are unique to you to try to change your behavior because of things I know that are unique about you. And if I do it right, there are offers that you'll like and you'll consider it a favorable experience, not an invasion.
Okay, I gotcha. And then we can go as far as saying that there might be facial recognition technology at some of these locations. I know there's a pushback against that. Obviously, yep. Not a lot. There's a big difference between a security setting like an airport where they're looking for bad guys, people on no fly lists, and walking into Kohl's or Walmart and going to buy something for your mom for Christmas.
Exactly. Like almost every store has a bunch of cameras in it. You expect and don't object to those cameras when they're being used for security or to stop shoplifters. Or now Amazon has these Go stores that are using them to help track your purchases so that you don't have to stop at the cashier on your way out. Those all feel, to varying degrees, relatively comfortable. Using those cameras to identify you uniquely and even worse, to know something about you, that you're, a bald dude over 40 that should be shopping for Rogaine, for example.
Sure.
That starts to feel more creepy. There are retailers that are piloting things like sentiment tracking. Like, are the customers in line at the cashier happy or are they mad? right? And they're using facial recognition to sort of determine that and change their labor models and their customer service practices. The scary end game here is there's a city in China that will give you automatic jaywalking tickets that'll recognize your face, see that you walked across the street, and you can literally, as a pedestrian, get an automated ticket, which is like a pretty scary thought.
It feels creepy. You're basically, Big Brother is watching what you're doing, but you're agreeing to
it. Steve Burness is with the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, the Better Business Bureau always receive complaints of privacy. So when consumers go online and they shop organizations, they tend never to read the privacy policy. Or when they agree to it, they don't read it. And usually the privacy policy tells the consumer what they're going to do with their data, whether they keep it in aggregate form, or use it in some way. A lot of consumers are always concerned about their privacy at that particular point. They walk into a store, and all of a sudden the store says you're in the cereal aisle. I mean, it freaks people out. But again, by getting that app and downloading it, but not reading it, you agree to allow them to follow you around the store, basically. So the Better Business Bureau is always concerned about privacy. We suggest consumers read the privacy policy before giving your information up, especially your email. You don't have to give a company your email. They like it because they want to target you. You don't have to. Or you can create a fake email account. Consumers have done that. But again, when you're going on an app and you're saying you're agreeing that you can follow me around or use location services, it freaks people out. And it's a victim of, unusually a victim of identity theft, because it could happen from that.
There's nothing that they're doing illegal.
No.
It's just, it feels creepy.
We're also concerned about the companies that do sell it and they don't agree to it. So, but again, you got to find those companies. And because the data is sought, it's a commodity. Your name, your emails are a commodity. What I mean by that, they're bought and sold every day. So as they build profiles on you, they say, okay, this guy is in his 35 years old. He likes cigars, and he shops at Walmart. So they sell the data to Walmart. So do they have permission? You got to look at the privacy policy of that company. But most consumers that come to the Better Business Bureau say they didn't have the privacy. They didn't agree to give them their names.
When it comes to online shopping, the retailer can track not only what you've purchased, but what else you've looked at on the site, how long you spent looking at a product, and whether or not you ever put it in your cart. Information they can use to build a profile on you, track you with other ads online, and potentially sell your data to other companies. If you don't like that,
Better Business Bureau suggests you clear your cookies as much as you can so that they don't retarget you and follow you around.
And one of the biggest threats these days, bad guys who want to access all that data retailers are collecting. I asked Jason.
Do they take financial hits when things like data breaches come out to retailers?
Potentially huge. So when Target was famously breached, 25% of their customers never came back to the Target website after that breach. And that's particularly ironic because Target wasn't breached online. Like the point of sale system in the store was breached, but it eroded trust in that brand and they lost a bunch of customers. So it took Target a long time to regain that trust.
So there's a lot going on in that game. If a retailer wants to get into that kind of game and really start to drill down, you got to protect that information as best as possible, because anything like that could just blow you out of the water.
Yeah, there's risk and reward to every one of these things. Now, there is a school of thought. The news on these breaches just keeps getting worse. And, you know, now if you've ever stayed at a Marriott, you know, or you own a credit card, Equifax, and all these things. And so there's some school of thought that, like, as consumers hear about more and more breaches, they almost become numb to it. And so there's some of us have a fear that that may be giving some brands permission to push the envelope a little more because it's become so common.
Bottom line, read the fine print, be aware of what is going on when you shop, and understand this data mining game is only going to grow stronger in the future. Retailers have too much on the line to slow it down. Ryan Burrow, WGN News.